Welcome to the MPC Podcast. I am Tim W. Gill, pastor of Medora Pentecostal Church, and I'm thrilled that you've joined us today. Here at MPC, we are committed to bringing hope and building lives. One way we do that is through this podcast. Thank you for listening, for sharing and reviewing what we do here. It is our desire to connect with you, and you can find us on Facebook, or you can find us at our website, medorachurch.com. It is our prayer that today's message inspires you, encourages you, and that the kingdom of God is advanced in your life. Let's get right to the word of the Lord today.
We're going to go back to our series that we've been teaching on prayer, and this is lesson number 3. And we're going to the book of Psalms tonight, chapter 24 and verse number 1. Psalm 24 and 1. This is a very familiar psalm if you've been around church for any length of time. But Psalm 24 and 1 says, "The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and all they that dwell therein." Pause. If you have been hearing a lot of prophetic words related to the eclipse, related to a lot of other stuff on Facebook and beyond, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof and all they that dwell therein. He's got this. Relax. Throw your glasses on and just simply be in awe of his wonder. Somebody say amen, Pastor. Amen. I'll do that. Okay. Verse 2. "For he hath founded it upon the seas and established upon the floods. Who shall ascend to the hill of the Lord, or who shall stand in his holy place? He that hath clean hands and a pure heart, and hath not lifted up his soul unto vanity, nor sworn deceitfully, he shall receive the blessing from the Lord." Anybody want a blessing from the Lord? Amen. "He shall receive the blessing from the Lord and righteousness from the God of his salvation. This is the generation of them that seek him, that seek thy face, O Jacob." Selah. Heavenly Father, we come to you tonight. We thank you, Lord, for your word. We pray that you would help us tonight in our study. Help us, Lord Jesus, to learn more about prayer, but also about your presence. For we want to go into your presence, oh God, on a continual, consistent basis. And we're going to give you the praise, Lord, for that opportunity, that door, in Jesus' name. Let everybody say amen. Amen. God bless you. You can be seated. The process of prayer. Everybody say the process of prayer. In particularly, the process of entering into the presence of the Lord. I'm not talking about pulling rosary beads, and I'm not talking about saying certain types of prayer, but rather the process of coming into his presence. That should be our desire, is to get into the presence of the Lord. It is the design and desire of heaven for you and I to be in his presence. From the very beginning, that's what God wanted, and that's what God desires. The question is, how can I, being a finite being or an unholy being or somebody that doesn't have it all together, anybody here with me doesn't have it all together, get into an altogether lovely, wonderful, infinite God? How am I going to get into his presence? I don't qualify on my flesh to be in his presence. But how can I approach his presence? So, first of all, let's ask this question and try to answer it. What do we mean when we say the presence of the Lord? The first place that we find the term the presence of the Lord is found in the Garden of Eden in Genesis chapter 3 and verse 8. The Bible says, "And they heard the voice of the Lord walking in the garden in the cool of the day, And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord amongst the trees of the garden. Being, when that statement is made, the presence of the Lord, it comes from this meaning, being in the face of. Being in the face of, or it speaks about being face to face with. Amen. It is about, it talks about the part of the head, the eyes. It talks about the speech, the eyes, the mouth, and the ears. So when I'm in the presence of the Lord, I'm in that place with Him where I hear what His voice. I want to see Him face to face. It's closeness. When we talk about being in the presence of the Lord, we're talking about closeness with God. Presence is that place of intimate communion. It is that place where I can hear His voice and He can talk to me. Adam and Eve, in this instance, was hiding themselves from the presence of the Lord because of sin. They were hiding themselves. When Cain sinned, the Bible said he went out from the presence of the Lord. Jonah, when told to go to Nineveh, fled to Tarshish to escape the presence of the Lord. In the New Testament, we are told that the times of refreshing, speaking about the outpouring of the Holy Ghost, shall come from the presence of the Lord. Communion, intimacy. In the presence of the Lord, that place where we develop a relationship with our Heavenly Father. It is a place where we can commune. It is where His heart reaches us, where His thoughts reach us, where we learn His will above the world's will, above the will of man and our personal will. It is about being in His presence, and prayer brings us into His presence. Aren't you thankful for that?
Amen.
1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9. Oh, praise the Lord in this place. But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither hath it entered the heart of the man, the things that hath God prepared for them that love Him. But God hath revealed them unto us. So evidently we can see, we can hear what God has for us, but He's revealed it to us by His Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God, the presence of God by His Spirit. For what man knoweth the things of man, save the spirit of man, which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God. We learn the things of God that are deep by getting in His presence. You don't just run into His presence like running in out of the rain and just jumping in. I know that we're to come boldly to the throne of grace, but I'm talking about those intimate places where God can speak to you directly in your heart, can reveal to you and commune to you what He wants in our life. So, the Psalm 24 that is before us today is composed to celebrate the moving of the Ark of God from the house of Obed-Edom to Mount Zion. So, who shall ascend under the hill of the Lord and stand in His holy place? If you look at three related psalms here that are so beautiful, we know Psalm 23, the Lord is my, I shall not want, okay? But if you jump back to Psalm 22, you will find that there is a correlation between Psalm 22, Psalm 23, and Psalm 24 that reveal to us important truths about Jesus Christ. Psalm 22 depicts Christ as our Savior, the Lamb of God. For it says that is where we find that prophetic word that Jesus quotes back on the cross where He says, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Why art thou so far from helping me and from the words of my roaring? So in that particular chapter, it talks about the saving Christ or the Lamb of God. Christ, our Savior. In Psalm 23, it says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Christ is then my sustainer. He is my shepherd and sustainer in Psalm 23. But in Psalm 24, it reveals to us the king, that Christ is the sovereign king. Who's going to ascend unto the hill of the Lord? Amen. Oh, open up. Let the king come in, somebody. So when I approach his presence, I'm not just simply moving into the place of savior or the place of sustainer, but I want to go into his holy place as king. It's entering into his throne room. Amen. Don't we say that when we're worshiping? Come on, let's go into the throne room of the Lord. So a lot of people today want to approach the throne room like Disney World. It's mystical. It's a show. It's something that's going to be entertaining. Amen. But when you enter into the presence of the Lord, it is a sacred place. It's a holy place. It is a place of power. Amen. It's the presence of the king. We don't worship doing the hokey pokey. We don't turn church into a nightclub. We don't move the secular into the sacred. We don't imitate Hollywood. But what we must do is look at the presence of God as being a holy place. Who can ascend to the hill of the Lord but he that hath clean hands and a pure heart? He that is holy, set apart. He that is pure and set apart. The Hebrew word holy, kodesh, means apartness, sacredness, holiness, separateness, set apart. How many know our God is set apart? Amen. Yeah. Amen. Yeah. The Greek word for holy in the New Testament is hagios, which means something that is sanctified, something that is a holy thing. God is holy. His word tells us that he is holy. And his holiness means that he is set apart. He is set apart. How many of you have ever gone to a steakhouse and looked at that steak and thought, that looks like roadkill? Anybody ever been there? We went out to eat when we were evangelizing years ago, and a precious elder brother, he was so funny. We all went, there were several in the church that went out to this so-called steakhouse. And when we got there, first of all, we should have had a clue that the mascot or the logo of the steakhouse was this skinny cow. It was a skinny, scrawny cow. And this elder looked at his steak on his plate. He said, I think I saw that old thing in the auction the other day. How many of you ever been to a really good steakhouse? Anybody? Holler out a name for me. Say again. Texas Roadhouse. What was the other one? Whatever you said. The chow. Yeah. You got it. Yeah, I know that's a great steakhouse. And they bring you this perfectly cut, wonderful, thick, medium rare. Praise be to God. Let's have some shouting right now. And you bring that out and you compare it to that other thing and you would say, this is a cut above. There's something about a really good hamburger in there, and there's something about a McDonald's burger. They have now made them so thin, that little meat that is so thin, you can see holes through it. And you go get you a good, nice cut of a hamburger. What you're saying is that this is a cut above. It's not like that. So when we say that God is holy and he is a cut above, he is not like that. It blows my mind how that men and the world seems to think that they know exactly how God is going to operate. Surely God, who is loving, would not do this. No, but he will, because he is cut above. He's not like man. He is not like us. Amen. And he says, if you want to approach me, I want you to know that I am a cut above. I am holy, the Lord says. But then he says, because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. God is saying, I want my people to be a cut above. I want my people to be separate. I want my people to be different from the rest of those that want to live wickedly and unrighteously. I want my people to be set apart. Amen. Something that is set apart, something that is said to be consecrated, is also said to be filled up. If you consecrate a room, you are saying there is no room for anything else in here but what belongs in here. It's consecrated. So when you say, I consecrate myself to God, you are saying there is no room here for anything else. Now, somebody that wants to hold hands with God and kiss on the world is not consecrated. Somebody that wants to go to church and pretend like that they love God, but then go out and live a completely different way, it's not a cut above. They're not consecrated, but they are mixed. I'll get to that in a minute. He said, have a clean hands and a pure heart. Have a clean hands and a pure heart to see the Lord. To come before his presence is to have clean hands and pure heart. How many know that he makes our hands clean? He makes our heart pure. We just give the continual flow through me, obedience. Goes back to what we talked about Sunday, obedience. Obedience unto the Lord, that's my part. His part is that he cleans me up. He's the one that sanctifies. He's the one that purifies. I've got to consecrate. And when I consecrate, I'm saying there's only room here for what is you want, Lord. What you want. Can I ask you to just lift your heart, lift your hands to the Lord right now and say, I consecrate this. My body, my mind, my desires, my passions, my wills. Lord, there's room for you and not for anything else. A pure heart is a single focused heart. God's looking for people that are honest with him and single focused with him. God is looking for people that will come before him and just say, I'm all in. Oh, that this generation of American believers, American spirit-filled apostolic believers would have the mindset is that I serve him only. And that is enough, because everything I need in there, consider my job, consider my family, consider my possessions. He said he'd supply my needs. So my room is for him. And then he comes along and gives me what I need. Yes. Woo! Thank you, Jesus. But a pure heart is an unmixed heart. It's a heart that is single focused. When he said, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. They shall see God. He is saying the unmixed, those that live in one mindset. One thing, the psalmist said, and that will I seek after, and that I may dwell in the house of the Lord. I want one thing in my life. Everything else takes a back seat to that. Yes. When we pray, we've got to have a pure heart. That is, we are not double-minded. Go with me to James chapter 1 and verse 5. If any of you lack wisdom, what a question, what a statement. Who's going to be the dude that stands up and says, I don't need this. I got it. Well, I've met a few. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask. What does that sound like? Pray. If any of you lack wisdom, let him pray of God that giveth to all men liberally. Oh, praise be to God. And upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering, for he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea driven from with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord, for a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. A double-minded, which means twice soul in the Greek. It is an adjective that literally describes one who has two minds or one who has two spirits. In context, it is the sin that God talks about of wavering, inconsistency, that says, God said, that's two-faced. Don't let them be double-minded. Don't, because they're unstable, they're hesitant, vacillating between two or more opinions. This person, in a sense, has a divided loyalty of faith and doubt, faith and fear, holiness and unholiness, righteousness and unrighteousness. One day in and another day out, one moment in and one moment out. Amen. But oh, we need to make sure that we have a pure heart, which means, oh God, this heart right here could deceive me, but I want you to know that I'm all in. I'm focused on you. I want my heart to be clean and free from all impurities. I want my heart and my mind to be clean and free and unmixed. Let me have a single mind. Lord, let me have a single. When you step into prayer, it's time to let distractions be destroyed. You can put everything aside and say, let me focus on you, oh Lord. Right now, let my head, Lord Jesus. Anybody here have a problem with a wandering mind? I do. Yeah, I do. I'm as bad as the movie Up about those dogs that somebody hollered squirrel. That's a truth there. I am not alone in this room. But we have to learn to focus on the Lord. Focus our attention on Him. Could that be why He says go to the closet and pray? Could that be why He says get alone and pray? Is that why we have to say no to something else to say yes to Him in prayer? Amen. Lock the kids up in the closet, maybe. Y'all delete that. What are we doing? We've got to be single-minded before the Lord. Lord, your way, not mine. Lord, your thoughts, not mine. Lord, your path, not mine. Oh, God, I've got to understand your will and your way. I lack wisdom, so I need to pray with a single-minded purpose. God, I lack wisdom. I need help. Whatever you say is whatever that's what I'm going to do. That's what I'm going to do. No wonder the Lord said, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Hallelujah. There's another verse of scripture we've quoted for years as well. And that comes from Hebrews, where it says, follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. If we are going to see the Lord, we need to have a single heart. If we're going to have other people see the Lord in us, we need to have that single heart. Holiness. Turn to your neighbor and just tell them, I'm a cut above. I'm a cut above because of him. I'm a cut above because of him. A person who has a single-minded focus is saying, I want what you want. Shouldn't that be our prayer anyway? Instead of praying our own little pet things, should we not pray, I'm praying what you want. I am praying your will. My passion, whatever your passion is. My will is whatever your will is. You command, that's my purpose. You tell me what to do to please you, Lord, that's my purpose. You know what? We can get a lot of things wrong, but I think there ought to be something in our heart that says, I want to know the Lord well enough that I please him, that I please him. A young couple got married. You know how we do when you're first getting married is that everybody goes back to their default setting of how they lived before they were married and who did what and what this one. Well, this young bride wanted to please her husband. So every day she had a glass of sweet tea, cold and chilling in the refrigerator. And he come in and drunk it until a few weeks or days, I don't know how long it was. All of a sudden, he looked at her one day and said, honey, I hate sweet tea. I hate sweet tea. But she was trying to please him, but she didn't know him. But when she learned what he did like, then that's a whole different thing. Now, you could be like Sister Gill and I when we first got married. Amen. I recommend this to nobody. We got married and 2 weeks later, we were on the evangelistic field. What were you thinking? What were we thinking? Thank you, Lord. I'm so glad she stuck with me. I mean, I took her with a trailer to West Virginia. And I was, how old were we? Not old enough, not near old enough. But I can remember the exact campground that we had our first night stay in. On our way to West Virginia, we would just crossed over into Huntington, West Virginia, and I think it was called Firefox or Fox Fire Campground. And we had stayed there that night, not too far off the interstate, and that evening she made a meal that would feed an army. And it hasn't changed. She still does that. Ask my family. I love it because I love leftovers. But the next morning we get up and we sit in our little cubicle in this 24-foot trailer, and we're looking at each other tender-eyed, lovingly, and we sit there, we talk a little bit, and we sit there, and finally one of us says, are you going to make breakfast? No, are you? You know what? My mom made breakfast every morning in our house, blessed be to God, and her dad made breakfast every morning in their house, oh, praise the Lord. So we sat there looking at each other, lovingly and hungry. But then all of a sudden we realize we know the answer. It's called cereal. And to this day, if we want a good breakfast, we go to Cracker Barrel. If you don't know the Lord, then you don't know what pleases him. If you don't know him, then you don't know what pleases him. But if you know him and learn, that's what our relationship is all about. The more I know him, then the more I want to please him. It is not, oh, you folks, you all do this and y'all do that, and that's such a heavy burden. It's not a burden when you love. It's not. Praise God. So, a single-minded focus is what pleases the Lord. A pure heart. One that has clarified values connected to God. One that has pure motives. And a heart that says, I have no hidden agenda. I have no double motive. I have no self-interest. I just want what you want. And I know you have my best interest at heart. God has your best interest at heart. Oh, praise the Lord for that. A pure heart produces clean hands. For if this is pure, then this will be pure. What we do with our fingers and with our hands, a pure heart. What is on the inside ultimately comes to the outside. So who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord? He that hath clean hands and a pure heart. And then it says, who hath not lifted up his soul unto vanity. Somebody say humility. That's what it's talking about here. In my father's Bible, all of his Bibles had things that he had written in them and statements and quotes and thoughts and sayings. And one of them that I come across is that he had this: prayer without humility is like bidding at an auction without money. It's just talk. Prayer without humility is like bidding at an auction without money. It's just talk. He also wrote another one that said, there is no prayer without humility. Pride infects our prayers no matter how well worded they may be. Humility will kill the poison of Satan's vanity by getting our eyes off our own self and on God. Humbly. Come before the Lord humbly. Don't lift up our soul in a way of arrogance unto vanity. Amen. The only way that we are holy is by God's grace. The only way that we are holy is by His imputed righteousness. That should make us humble to think about, I can approach the King of glory, the God of heaven, in my time of need and prayer because He made it available for me to do so. I could not do it because of my name. I couldn't do it because of my education or even the lack of my education. It's God's grace. Can you thank the Lord for His grace today? Peter put it like this in chapter 5 of 1 Peter, verse 5. Likewise, ye younger, submit yourself unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another and clothed with humility. Why? For God resists the proud and gives grace to the humble. Because of the redeeming work of Christ, I can come. Me. I can come to the throne of grace. Not only can I come, but I can come boldly. That, understand that boldly and arrogantly are not the same. But I can come boldly and confidently because He has imputed His grace to me. I didn't deserve it. Oh, thank you, Lord. Me. You know what? If I wanted to go have an audience with, name a person, a president, a king, a star, whatever, I'd have to go through all the kind of channels and hoops. But if I'm going to have an audience with the King of glory, the Lord of the universe, I must accept His grace. And then hear Him say, come. He wants us to come. He wants you to come. He wants me to come. Amen. So what do we lift up our souls to? We lift our souls up to whatever fuels our pride. Amen. Our passions matter when it comes into the presence of the Lord. David said, unto thee, O Lord, will I lift up my soul. Not unto vanity, not unto pride, but unto you, O Lord, do I lift up my soul. Oh, praise be to God. Who is it that satisfies your soul anyway? Who is it that can satisfy your soul? That deep longing in your soul. Amen. You've read of stories of people that are filthy rich and empty in their soul. You read of stories of people that had great accomplishment, but they're empty in their soul. There's only one that can satisfy the longing of my soul. Oh, praise be to God. Amen. Andrew Murray associated holiness so closely to humility that he wrote this sentence. He said, "The great test of whether the holiness we profess to seek or to attain is truth and life will be whether it produces an increasing humility in us." Y'all, the older we get, the humbler we should become. Yes? Yes? The more we know, the less we should also think of ourselves. Prayer cannot function without humility. We need humility today in our prayer. Amen. Praise be to God. And then he said, he's not lifted up his soul nor sworn deceitfully. Those who come into the presence of the Lord have got to value truth and transparency. Because quite frankly, God can look right through you anyway. He can look right through to me. We were talking last night with some people from Shiloh, and they were subject. My dad come up and they said, "Oh my goodness," said, "we knew that Brother Gil was coming. My dad was coming." That said, we'd all pray through. We'd all get right because we knew that he would read us. We knew that he'd tell us what we were doing wrong. And it was telling about one young man there. You know, my dad, those of you that know my dad, used to put a chair out. I do that sometimes as well, but he used to put a chair out and anoint it and ask people to come for prayer. And anybody remember him doing that? All right. Well, he was doing that. And they said that this one young man, just a teenager, ran to the chair first. And he did and said he started shouting and praising God and just and they asked him afterward. He said, "I just had to get it over with." Can I tell you? You and I are transparent before the Lord, no matter who is watching. No matter where we are, the Lord sees all. He understands all. Amen. When I come before him, I've got to have myself, amen, transparent. I need myself to be transparent and truthful and honest before him. Amen. We talk about the presence of the Lord being about his face and his and intimacy. It's us bringing our presence too. It's about our heart. It's about our hands. It's about our mouth. It is about our soul. It is about our passions. It is about our emotions and our feelings and our thinking and our acting and our speaking. Let's be real with God. You don't pray King James prayers when you have to be real with God. Not trying to impress anybody. Have you ever had one of those real moments with God when you didn't have the vocabulary, you didn't have the words, and you just simply come before him real? Can I tell you, I believe that's attractive to our Heavenly Father. I believe that is attractive to him. So when we come before him, we need to become real before him, not swear deceitfully. Paul wrote to Timothy in 1 Timothy 2:8, and he says, "I will for that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath," without ungoverned emotions. And then he says, "without doubting." And that word means without the love of truth. Without doubt. Come to the Lord, transparent. Yes. Come before him, knowing that he will hear you. You believe what I'm trying to teach to you today?
Yes, sir.
Psalm 15 and verse 1. Psalm 15 and verse 1. "Lord, who shall abide in thy tabernacle? Who shall dwell in thy holy hill? He that walketh uprightly and worketh righteousness and speaketh the truth in his heart." I can't play hypocrite with God. He knows me anyway. James said 4:8, "Draw nigh to God. He will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners. Purify your hearts, you double-minded. Let's come before him in a way that is transparent. Let's come before him in a way that is clear. Amen. Let us not lift up our souls to vanity, nor swell or swore deceitfully. He says, that person shall receive the blessing from the Lord and righteousness from the God of his salvation. This is the generation that seeks the Lord. This is the people that seeks his face. Oh, that we would understand there is a throne room that I can run to. That we would understand that there is a place that I can go. And if I've gone there, I can tell the Lord in the middle of the night, my son needs protection, Lord. There's an accident. And God can keep, what, just a few inches over, Sister Brewer, right? Just a few inches over, and we would have a whole different history, a whole different situation in this church. All because somebody can go to the Lord in prayer and say, God, I'm coming before you. I'm desperate. I'm true. I'm honest. I need you to be with them. I need healing in the name of Jesus. There's no time for a little Pentecostal patty cake prayer. It's me and the Lord, transparent. Maybe somebody tonight needs that transparent conversation with God. That honest discussion. You see, your questions don't worry the Lord. Your whys don't worry the Lord. Your mountain's not too big. Can you stand your feet with me right now? I want us to take a moment. Let's just turn this into a prayer meeting. Let's just turn this into a prayer meeting right now. It's you and the Lord. Would you just begin to talk to him right where you are and say, oh God, I don't have this all figured out. I don't understand it all, but I know I want to be in your presence. I need to be in your presence. I need to be in your presence. Can I invite you that would come to the altar to pray, come to this front to pray. And I want to invite you to come, amen, to say, oh Lord, I'm headed into your presence. I want to go into your presence. Oh Lord, but here I've got a heart that's mixed. So now, Lord, I need you to clean my heart up. I need my heart to be clean. I need my focus to be single. Lord, today would you come? Would you come? Hallelujah. Let me ask you to just open up your heart to the Lord right now in this time of prayer and just say, Lord, I need you. Oh, I need you. I don't have words. I don't understand, Lord, but I know that you're there. I know that you'll help me, Lord, because I'm headed to your presence. I must be in your presence. I need to learn of you. I need to know you, oh God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you for listening to the MPC podcast. We trust that today's message has inspired you, encouraged you, and strengthened you in the Lord. We would like to invite you to join us again by simply subscribing to our podcast, and we encourage you to write a review if it has been a blessing to you. Again, you can find us at medorachurch.com to learn more about our ministry.